Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Big thanks to Keith Miller and our friends at a Strategic Factory for sewing this together, especially with the crab. I'm getting the left and the right mixed up on the camera, but got the crab on it now. And, you know, this is a festivist time of the year right now. We're going down to Nashville. A lot of folks wonder why I don't have my purple floodlights up. They were bad luck last year. They were bad luck back in 2006. So, you know, I saw this picture. And I know my next guest will really, really appreciate this picture. I was rummaging through some stuff, and this picture appeared of David Modell carting the Lombardi Trophy off of not one winning drive, one Owings Mills Boulevard on the morning that the trophy arrives 20 years ago. This is the morning of January 29, 2001. Matt Stover, where were you that day? I probably prepared for the parade like we all were. How are you, brother? Good to see you.
Hey, thanks, Ness. Thanks for having me on your show. Good to see you. Good to see Baltimore Positive. Amen to that, brother. Love it.
Well, you know, it harkens back to no one was more superstitious than this guy. He was the most superstitious guy I've ever met in my life. You're rolling your eyes. You know it's true. And I thought, you know what? On David's behalf, I'm not going to break the purple lights out because David would want it that way. you know, I guess the memories and all this, but the reality is this is a really good football game. We can geese back and talk about your big kick the last time they played a playoff game, which is unbelievable. The last home game they had there was the one where you beat them. And it's been a little while for them, but this rivalry has been fun, interesting, sort of juicy, getting juicier, made more juicy by this rematch, grudge match. This is the fun of football. This is why you played the game. We all love it so much, right, Matt?
That is. It's so true. You look at the rivalry that we've developed all the way back from 2000, you know, with the Eddie George and the Steve McNair days, and we went into that house and beat them twice. They hadn't lost there all year, and we beat them twice there. That, to me, was an incredible team. This team, I think what's going to happen, you're going to see, and I feel very good about this game, is because of what they learned last year in that playoff game against them. The emotional certitude that it takes to be excellent at that time of year. I think that they didn't really have that understanding from a maturity level as a team. Remember, minus Ray Lewis last year. And Ray would always bring that sense of understanding of what this game is to the team. They now know what that game is because they had the team to go all the way to the Super Bowl last year, and they got beat because they didn't perform to the best of their abilities. They just didn't perform. And so I look at it this year as that lesson learned. We're going to catapult them even away in their stadium. And remember, too, Nestor, our team is on all cylinders because of what happened earlier in the season. What seemed to be a curse with our the COVID issues, I'm sure has been spoken about in our media in Baltimore, but because of that, now that's done and passed, and we've got a pretty much of a full slate of guys who are ready to go, and they're fresh. So to me, it's going to a curse now is a blessing because we did make it into the playoffs.
Matt, as I remember, you helped me with Purple Rain 1, and then I wrote Purple Rain 2, and in Purple Rain 1, there was a whole month where we didn't score, right? We couldn't do anything. Changed quarterbacks, right? I mean, had all of that going on, and won a Super Bowl on the road in unlikely circumstances, and then 12 years later, we win a Super Bowl after firing an offensive coordinator in the middle of December, going on a losing streak, having team mutinies with the defense and the offense and guys not getting along, all of that, right? The COVID thing plays right into a theme of something has to punch you in the mouth in order to get it going. And I would say for you in your career, and you had a long career, man, you won a lot of playoff games, you lost a lot of playoff games. I'm thinking the losses are what you remember the next year when you actually go win.
Well, absolutely. And it creates resolve because you don't want to feel that way again. It really stinks when you lose a playoff game because the finality of it. You get into the locker room and you look at yourself and you go, you look around the locker room and you go, this season's over. This team will never, ever be back together again. So about 25% of your team turns over every single year.
It's a little bit like the Kentucky Derby in that way, isn't it? You get one chance to run the course, right? Literally.
One chance. Three-year-old, right. And that's it. And to me, those opportunities are fleeting. I'll never forget my first year in the NFL with Bill Parcells. As the head coach and Lawrence Taylor and Phil Sims and Otis Anderson, and they get at the whole team into the meeting room and they say, look, fellas, and this is, you know, all the older veterans, all about six or seven of them got up and said, this is my last chance. I may still play longer, but I'm going to tell you, this is my last chance. I want to take this opportunity and win now. And they did. They went through the playoffs and they won all the games. That's how the sense of urgency has to be in this locker room as well. And, you know, Lamar's not promised to get back next year to the Super Bowl. It's very difficult to get back to the Super Bowl. And that's what makes people like Tom Brady and then, of course, the Buffalo Bills and the Dallas Cowboys, because they did it consecutive years, how incredibly difficult that is. So, my hope is that they take last year and they understood that sense of urgency and they'll turn on the Jets. And they are fun to watch. They are incredibly fun to watch, and they are a really good team right now.
Well, and they've played well the last month, and I think it's really a tribute to Roman and how well they're coached. This organization, famous for that, as you well know, all the way through and being prepared and drafting guys on, you know, taxi squads that can come up and play when they need to. I mean, they gave Pittsburgh all they could handle on that day. We played up there with the second team. And I looked at the last month, not as a preseason. I think that's flipping to the Jaguars or the Giants or the Bengals, but to look at those games and say, what can you go out and do right as football? I mean, going back to what Marvin taught me 30 years ago, you know, just sort of like alignment, assignment, technique. Let's do things the right way. Let's not be in first and 20. Let's line up the right way. Let's not make mistakes. Let's win battles. And they did all of that for a month, almost in like sort of a preseason-y kind of efficient way for me to believe that they're now ready for the real season, because this is the third incarnation of what this team is. I mean, what they wanted this team to be back in September, then with the injuries and COVID and the losses and what they were trying to do throwing the football to bring them back to the last 4 weeks, which quite frankly has looked, they've looked the way they looked in their best periods last year. And that's saying a lot without Yonda and Stanley and Boyle and all of that. And I know it was a lesser competition, but I have some confidence that they've done things the right way the last month. And that bodes well for what they're going to try to do on Sunday.
Well, I mean, it's a tribute to John Harbaugh. And because he knows that how smart he isn't. And he brings in people that how smart they are. Right? You surround yourself with brilliant people and good people. And of course, Eric DaCosta and his staff putting the right players. I mean, the running back Dublin, I mean, my goodness, this kid is just an explosive machine. And that just adds a whole nother dynamic. Then you've got Lamar back there. So the personnel is in place, but can you lead them? Can you build the confidence in your team? So coming out of November, which was a very off November, because the motto is, you know, you split, you know, September, October, but you win as much as you can there. But then come November and December, that's where you separate the men from the boys. And I see that this team didn't panic coming out of November, got through all the emotional distress, everything that came their way, such as the COVID injuries and everything that was happening. And they came out stronger. To me, that shows a lot of resilience and a lot of resolve. And I think a lot of that has to do with what happened last year. And nobody wants to feel that way again. So they're going to be, it's going to be a different team come the playoff game against Tennessee.
I always love visiting with Matt Stover. One of the first guys I met back in 1996 in the beginning of the beginning. And I'm finding all these old pictures, and I've got old pictures of you and me that I have found. And yeah. I want to do a little throwback story here. You and I reached each other often. I mean, you're one of the guys I actually keep in touch with. Not one of the guys, I keep in touch with a lot of guys, but certainly in the inner circle of people that not a month or two goes by, we're not throwing a text or running into each other. We're not going to run into each other at the Super Bowl. We're not running each other in Hunt Valley and having lunch at Silver Spring Mining Company, which isn't there anymore. You know, COVID's affected so many different things, but the loss of people and, you know, at the end of the year, all the, you know, you watch the TV shows, you find that the musicians and the Eddie Van Halens, you think about the people in your real life that you've lost during this thing, COVID or not COVID. Greg Montgomery, we started to see some things on social media late into the summer, into September, and you reached to me, I reached to you, I was reaching to other teammates, people don't even remember Alex Bernstein and different folks like that I'm still in touch with, and Mike Flynn was asking me. So I'm texting around with people, and it turns out John Eisenberg wound up putting his reporter's hat on. He joined me 2 weeks ago to talk about Greg's death. You know, Monty used to reach to me anytime he came into town. He would come and sit in my studio, put his feet up, and sometimes he would visit and be doing well, and sometimes he'd visit and I'd be like, I'm a little worried about Monty, you know, and I think we all had that experience. I just want to give you some oxygen because, I mean, I know he was a special guy to you and coming in here and you went to work together and you cared about Greg. We all did.
Yeah, Greg was a gentle spirit. I mean, the guy had his mental issues with bipolarism, and that played a toll on him. And he became outspoken after finally he got in touch with that. And I think he struggled with that deeply. But while he was a teammate, he was a tremendous friend. He had more tattoos and blonde hair and everything, but I trusted him implicitly. He was a guy that was a great teammate, somebody who worked extremely hard, and he showed me a work ethic that I thought I had. He took it to another level. And how he got along with people, everybody liked him. And so, you know, Greg, unfortunately, left us here, but I know where he's at, and he's a good man. And I mourned his loss. I reached out to his sister. And just to see how everybody's doing.
He left. She's doing a lot of good work, too, in the aftermath of this.
Yeah. And they're doing, you know, he left a great legacy here in the NFL. And it's unfortunate we lost him as a brother. But I love who he was and what he added to the Baltimore Ravens, especially at the very beginning, because he was here in 96 and 7, I think. And then Kyle Richardson came in 98.
Correct. Yeah, right. That's correct.
Yeah, so that's how that works.
You got good memory, Matt, for an old guy. We're doing all right. Matt Stover, we're mutual friends with Liberty Pure Solutions. I want to give a shout-out to Doug Workman and our friends there who did my water heater, taking care of my well water, taking care of my drinking water. I got the bottled water around, so I just want to give a shout-out there. 1-800-CLEAN-WATER, they're mutual friends of Matt and I, and Matt's responsible for that introduction and our friendship as well. You know, this time last year, I went to the Super Bowl down in Miami, and my memory of that will always be Kobe dying on the Sunday, like that Sunday night and all that, and the whole week that went into that. And on the docket that week, a guy came up to me and said, hey, I got Vinny Testaverde here on Tuesday. You want him? And I'm like, yeah, I want Vinny on. Yes, I do, you know? And Vinny walked in looking like Vinny looked like he just came off the golf course or off a boat, you know? And he said to me, this is going to be the highlight of the week. I saw that I was doing you and I needed extra time. So Vinny and I went through 1996. Matt, you know, I put this picture up, right? And I keep Art back here. Art's with me always, right? Yeah. And, you know, and I got Coach here. I'm going to work Coach onto the wall. I got to get some sticky tape, but Coach is going to go back here along with all the other artifacts I have. What's it all mean to you 25 years into this, that to have been a part of this and to know that on Sunday, your kids are watching, your friends are watching, they think of you probably as a Raven for life. Probably don't remember you so much as a Brown or Giant or
right, I'm a
team
Raven
out in the Midwest that once sailed off in Mayflowers. We'll talk about that part of your career. But as a Raven, this thing continues on and on. And this is a time where they can win 3 or 4 ball games here and really create that thing that you were a part of creating, you know, that still lives.
If you remember the famous Baltimore statement from Ray Lewis, Baltimore, you know, that when he says that, right, during his acceptance speech.
Let me get the hair on the back of my neck. My hair's kind of long right now. But
he culminates it, and he means that it's a deep, sincere love for the community. How they embraced the Cleveland Browns becoming the Baltimore Browns. I mean, we were adopted stepchild. I mean, it was an abusive relationship we just came back from in Cleveland. We got.
By the way, I found my ticket stub from the Cincinnati game, the last game there where they ripped the stadium apart. That was the day I met Kevin Byrne. I always let him. What kind of mood do you think Kev was in that day? Yeah, how do you think Kev?
Get me out of here is what he was saying.
I mean, all the banners were down. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, Black. But you know, and you know what's weird, man. Like, I've told everybody this week, Matt. Sunday, when we were winning and I was watching Pittsburgh and Cleveland, I don't know what got into me. And you know how much I don't like the Steelers, right? And I have this great relationship with Mike Tomlin, but, I don't like the Steelers. I mean, I see bumper stickers. I see people in the mall or at the supermarket where I but I was rooting against the Browns. I don't know why. There was just something in me that I don't want to see them do well. I don't know why. It's not nice of me. They've never done anything other than deliver you and all of this year for us.
Well, as long as the three of us got in, I was good. You know, as long as that didn't disqualify us, I was okay. Because I wouldn't mind seeing the Browns again. I don't mind to tell you. But, you know, see the Pittsburgh Steelers, somehow that team with Roethlisberger and Tomlin, you know, they've got it going. But I'm going to say this about Baltimore. In my time, looking back and being a part of that team 5 years after we get here in Baltimore, that was incredible to be able to bring that back to the city. And the fact that that's the same place where you saw that David Modell was walking, where those Mayflower trucks were driving, if you recall.
Oh, exactly. I recall it very well. That's the same pathway.
That's exactly the same spot right there.
Wow.
That
Mayflower
truck. And he's sitting there going, yeah, that's right. We just brought this Super Bowl trophy back where those Mayflower trucks were. And to me, that was an amazing privilege to be a part of that team, to be a part of the city, and how they continue to support their team, even during this COVID crisis. And the fact that all the things that are going on in the NFL and this city is behind their blue, black, and purple. And I was going to say black and blue, but it's black and purple. Who am I talking? And, you know,
you see blue. That's okay. I got some.
I was thinking bruises.
Frank Kush gave me a gift. I'll find it. It's a Colts thing. I got it around here somewhere.
No. In my mind, that's really what it comes from, Nestor. And to be a part of that was great. And I see another great future for him because of DaCosta and Harbaugh and Lamar right now. I mean, he's leading this team, and he's got a lot of guys who are following his passion.
It's January, and we have a chance, right? I mean, that's all you can ask for, literally.
They're not home right now. There's a lot of teams out there that are home going, dang, what about my next year? And this team's going, no, let's win right now. And I think they will. I really do. I think they're going to get in there in Tennessee and show what last year was all about, because they're going to finish the game this time.
Matt Stover is here, kicker, entrepreneur, philosopher, sometimes golfer, and all sorts of things. What's going on with you? You've done so much in charity and philanthropy and player philanthropy. I see at the Super Bowl currying favor and elbowing people, and you usually stop by and say hello to us, and you're always there doing business, and we're going to miss a lot of that this year, right? I mean, I'm not going down and setting the radio row. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm laying low. I'm hoping the Ravens are there. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, but you never do, right? And the years you do think you are, your reality sets in sometimes. So I'm easing into this. I do have a flight to Kansas City next week, but I'm skipping Nashville this week for COVID reasons. But, I look at the whole thing, and I guess for you, at the end, now that it's all over with, I see you doing good deeds, right? And that's what I see all sorts of players and people. Jared Johnson came on earlier this week talking about these old, you know, battles of days before. But what you take from it is good things you can do, and the world needs good things right now, Matt. You know that.
Well, yeah, the Players Philanthropy Fund is something that I dreamed up with my partner, Seth McDonald, to be able to assist athletes and celebrities in their charitable giving and not allow them to actually have their own private foundation, but they utilize mine. So Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, Pam Shriver, all these people that I work with, their foundations are parked inside of my 501c3. So we take care of all their administrative issues. And why I did that is because as a kicker, you're kind of a protector of the team. When the offense messes up, the kicker has to come in and clean things up and at least get 3 points. So, you know, I see myself as the sniper on the roof behind all my troops, who I'm taking out people all the time, you know, bad people. So I've always had that kind of a protector. I was a player rep for 16 years in the NFL, as you recall. So really what I wanted to do is create something that would protect their brand and allow them to operate in this nonprofit world safely and not allow them to corrupt that brand and to corrupt their vision and their mission because they didn't know what they were doing in the nonprofit world. So that's been a tremendous opportunity for me to give back, you know, well over $10 million. And the fact that, you know, we have 268 accounts and all, you know, things that are really, we almost doubled this past year during COVID because of the crisis that was going on. People really wanted to give back to their communities and to help and to bring PPE and whatever it was, the hardship issues that were going on. So thanks, Nestor, for mentioning that, because my heart is to make our communities better. One being Baltimore, but also we have our footprint all over the world. And we're registered in all the states, and we send money to Africa, and we're working with IKEA, you know. So all this being said, I think that it's important that we use our platform, we use our influence in our communities to make everything, everyone and every and our community is a better place to live.
I don't think you've ever stuttered on that. You know, over the 25 years coming off the boat from Cleveland, you knew we were building something here. And, you know, the Ravens have stood for a lot. And I think in this particular offseason, once this season's over with, I saw Steve did a $5 million grant last week before the end of the year as well. When this season's over, we're going to have a lot of work to do here. You know, COVID-wise, rebuilding-wise, local businesses, all of the things that are important. And I know you've had a relationship with Doug over at Liberty Pure. And it's businesses like that. It's local business here. People taking care of people in the community that makes all the difference.
Yeah, I really want our community in Baltimore to take ownership of that themselves. I wouldn't depend on our government right now, and I mean that. I think as a community, we need to come together and support one another, from the restaurants to the hospitals to the schools to the things that are necessary, to retirement homes, things that we have to do to support our community. And it's going to be us that does it. So that's one of the things I'm giving the vehicle to make sure that happens dollar-wise. So everybody should get out and do their best.
Appreciate you, Matt. Enjoy the game this week. Stay safe. Stover family okay? Everybody COVID-free? Everybody's cool? Washing their hands, wearing a mask? A
couple guys had it, but my two sons had it. I never got it from them, but I don't know how. But yeah, we were good. They got over that pretty quickly. And my son's playing golf. My other son's playing pro lacrosse for the Premier Lacrosse League. My daughter's married, which all happened this year. It's like, what? We had a crazy 2020. We did. And it was great.
Who didn't have a crazy 2020? I mean, that's part of the deal. It's part of living through. We're all in 2021. We're all live. Knock on wood, at least for all of us. Amen. It was crazy, man. It was crazy. It was
nuts. Yeah. Let's get into 21 and learn. And you know what? If you look at a tree and you look at the rings, the more stress that tree was under, the tighter those rings are and the stronger that tree is. Allow this to make us stronger.
I'm growing my hair. I'm figuring that would, you know, that'll give me the strength that I need here. That's my mystical. A little Greek mythology there for you on the way out the
That's
door.
Good stuff. Yeah, that? A little Herculean, right? All
Love
right.
Love you, guys. Matt. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on, brother.
See you.
You got it. Matt Stover, kicker, entrepreneur, philosopher, and sometimes golfer, and sometimes lunch companion of mine when given the opportunity. And the kicker, hey, Matt, you weren't expecting this, though, on the way out the door, right?
I wasn't expecting that. That was cool.
All right. Well, so, you know, we'll continue to try to bring up the good memories, put away the bad memories, and maybe make a new good memory by tackling Derrick Henry on Sunday and moving on and playing some football here. It is a Festivus for the rest of us. You can find all of our work at WNST.net, AM 1570, where we never stop talking and showing and believing Baltimore positive.